Okay, so good morning and welcome to Grace Community Church live stream service. Today, I wanted to bring a message that is titled, An Invitation to the Lord's Supper. Last time we have an opportunity to come together as a body of believers was on the third Sunday of the month, which is the day we normally observe the Lord's Supper. And I understand it was a very unique Sunday. And even though we're packed for the service, when it was time to prepare for the Lord's Supper, a lot of us left, and it dwindled down to like maybe 1/4 of the people. But this time of separation and being away from one another, in my soul, I'm just looking forward to when we're together and we're able to come to the table of our Lord and receive His invitation to eat and drink of His body and His blood and His sacrifice and enjoy it together. You know, so I'm actually looking forward to that. So I figure it would be a great opportunity to encourage us, right? To look forward to when we come together and meditate between now and then of what we are doing when we come together to have the Lord's Supper. So my message is an invitation to the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to start reading on Luke 22. So you can open your Bibles there. Luke 22. And you will see on verse 8, it says, Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it. So I just wanted to mention, right, how Paul in Colossians 2:16, he talks about that they are shadows of regarding to festivals and new moon. Those things are shadows of the things to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. And just think about it. Here is Jesus going with His disciples to eat the Passover, which is a shadow of the Lord's Supper in the Old Covenant. Now we have, it is actually called the Lord's Passover in Exodus 12. And they were to practice and observe the Lord's Passover with one purpose. It was to remember how they were slaves to Egypt and how God with a mighty hand set them free and singled them out from all the nations to be His precious possession. Where He set them free from slavery to Egypt. And they were to commemorate that. They were to remember that year after year. And they were to come together as a nation and observe it. On the first month, which actually, He even changed the calendar for them. So that month became the first month of the year for His people. And on the 10th day, the man of the house was supposed to go out and find a spotless lamb and set it apart. And then on the 14th day, he was supposed to sacrifice that. And that first Passover, they were supposed to take that blood and put it on the doorpost. And then cook it, prepare it, and eat it. And the Lord promised that those who by faith sacrificed that lamb and took that blood and put it on their doorpost, He will pass over them. And they'll bring the death, the judgment, the plague. And on that night, He set them free. And they departed. So in Exodus 12, Exodus 13, we see the account of it. And we see the instruction that the Lord gave them how they were supposed to do it that first time, and then how they were to preserve that, to remember that year after year after year. For time comes. And what they were supposed to do that night, year after year after year, was to remember that the Lord set them free. They were actually supposed to say, "We are remembering this day in which you came out of Egypt, in which the day that Exodus 13 says, you shall tell your sons on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt." Like, so think about this. We're talking about the day they were set free from Egypt, and then after that, they were supposed to celebrate that Lord's Supper, remember what the Lord did for them. So let's fast forward. Let's fast forward 400 years. We have David, king of the Israelites. He's sitting on his palace. They've been free. This is the epic time. You know, this is King David. He had conquered the promised land. They are on the golden days. And we're peeking in. We're seeing that 14th day of the first month. The table is prepared. David is sitting down. And we have King Solomon. We got Solomon. He's 4, 5, 6 years old. And he's looking at the banquet. And he looked at his father and said, "What are we doing?" And David answered, "It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt." Well, you came out of Egypt. That was 400 years ago. Yes, but today, we look back and we bring forward, we bring to our time and we remember what the Lord has done for me. And they were supposed to do that. And yet, as glorious as that sounds, they still have to bring sacrifices to the temple for their sin. Year after year after year. So even though they were free from slavery to Egypt, they were not free from their sin. That's a shadow. That's not the substance. So now we come to the day that we find here in Luke 22. And here is our Lord Jesus Christ with His disciples, and He has sent them ahead, John and Peter, to prepare the Passover that He is going to eat with them. And as you look at verse 11, He tells them, "And tell the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And when the hour come, he reclined the table and the apostles with him." He reclined at the table and the apostles with him. "And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you." Earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. "Before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourself. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread. And when he has given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which I give for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup after he had eaten, saying, "This is the cup that is poured out for you in the new covenant in my blood." So Colossians tells us there are shadows, but Christ is the substance. So the old covenant, the Passover, the Lord's Passover is the shadow. And here we see our Lord Jesus Christ converting, bringing that shadow into the fullness, into the reality, and establishing the Lord's Supper. And now telling his disciples, "Now you do this in remembrance of what I am about to do for you in the cross. So as the old shadow remembered the freedom from sin, from slavery, but not from sin, the reality, it reminds us that we're set free from sin. Once for all. There is not a sacrifice for our sins that we have to bring year after year after year. Once for all. And that's what we remember. This is a new covenant in my blood. If you go to Matthew 26 is the same account from Matthew's perspective. In Matthew 26, he says on verse 28, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." You see the difference here? He clarifies. It's not only the new covenant, but it's a blood that is being poured for the forgiveness of sin. The sin of many. So this is what we celebrate in the Lord's Supper. Christ brought forward the fulfillment of the Passover and established the Lord's Supper. And He invites us to remember what He has done. Now, He says to do this. So we're called to do this. So if we go now to 1 Corinthians 11, we see how in the new covenant, the church had an ongoing celebration of the Lord's Supper. The new covenant remembers that Christ died for us, for our sins on the cross, and we celebrate and remember what He has done for us on the cross as we come to the Lord's Supper and celebrate and remember His sacrifice. And the church has been commanded to do this, to remember. So, 1 Corinthians 11. Before I read Corinthians 11, let me ask you a question. Who is invited to the Lord's Supper? It's important. Because as we reflect on Exodus 12 and 13, the Lord is very clear. The Lord's Passover was only to be eaten by His people, not the foreigner. And the foreigner that have established residence with them, who sojourn with them, before they can partake of the Lord's Supper, they were to circumcise and become one with the people. And when they identify with the people, then they can take the Passover. So the question is, who is invited to take the Lord's Supper? We're right here in Corinth, so keep your finger there on 11. Let's go to chapter 1. Corinth 1, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. And it says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." So who is invited to the Lord's table? Who has the right to eat of the body and drink from the cup that our Lord has prepared for us to feast on, to eat of? Only those who have been called by the Father and enjoy fellowship with His Son. If you don't have fellowship with His Son, you're welcome to come to the service. You're welcome to hear the proclamation of the gospel, but you are not welcome to eat of the table of the Lord. You can. It doesn't mean anything to you. You're not invited. to partake of his bread and drink from his cup, because it has no meaning to you. So as you hear the gospel being proclaimed and you let it go by, the same you must do when the Lord's Supper comes before you. You must let it go by. You have to first receive the Son. You have to first enter into fellowship with His beloved Son. And then the invitation is yours to come and eat from the table. To eat and enjoy what He has prepared for you. But until you don't do that, you have no part with Him. You are not welcome in His table. 1 Corinthians 10:16. It says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Listen, this word here, a participation, is the same word on 1 Corinthians 1:9. It's the same fellowship. It's koinonia. See, you have to have participation with Christ. You have to have union with Him in order to eat and drink of the elements of the Lord's Supper. Verse 17 said, because there is one bread, we who are many, see, we are many, but yet we are Christ's body. Why? Because we have fellowship with Him. We have union with Him. So we're His body. So although we're many, we're one body. How is that possible? For we all partake of one bread. That's why we eat one bread. We eat Christ. And because we have fellowship with Him, then we're one. Now, let's go to chapter 11. So the question is, who is invited to the Lord's Supper? We just saw that are those who have fellowship with Him, those who partake, who have fellowship with Him in the blood, those who have fellowship with Him in the bread, those who partake of the cup and eat of the bread. Now, make it very clear, very simple. When we are gathered together as a church and we're having the Lord's Supper, we mainly say, if you profess to have fellowship with the Lord, you are a believer, and you've been baptized, and you are an active member, or you have a commitment to a local congregation, and if you are in good standing with that congregation, you're welcome to take of the Lord's Supper with us. See, it's not a big requirement. You need to have fellowship with Christ. And because you have fellowship with Him, then you can have fellowship with us as we partake. But if you don't have fellowship with Him, you cannot take the Lord's Supper. Simple. So who is invited? Those who have fellowship with Him. Now, the question I want us to consider now is, how should we take the Lord's Supper? What is the proper approach to the Lord's Supper? And for that, I want us to read 1 Corinthians 11, verses starting on verse 17. It says, but in the following instruction, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are division among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. What? They're coming together to eat the Lord's Supper, and Paul is telling them, you're not eating the Lord's Supper. So the question, what is the proper approach? How should we approach the Lord's table when we're going to eat His supper? All right, so let's continue reading. Verse 21. For in eating, each one goes ahead with one meal, with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you in this? No, I will not. And now he goes and tells them what he has already instructed them before. And he reminded them of what the Lord's Supper is. He said, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered. It's past 10. You already know this. For I received from the Lord what I already delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he has given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we will not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned alone with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it is not to be for judgment. Stop there. So, how should we approach the Lord's Supper? We are to approach the Lord's Supper first together as a church. Together as a church. You see it here, verse 18. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, see, they're coming together as one body of fellow believers to celebrate, to remember together what the Lord has done for them. And it's very clear. Verse 17 says, when you come together. Verse 20, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. See, they're coming together with the purpose to have the Lord's Supper, but they're doing it wrong. But the one thing they're doing right is that they're all together. Verse 33, so then, my brothers, when you come together to eat. Verse 34, so that when you come together, who are they you? Is those who belong to the body of Christ. Those who have fellowship with Christ, as we saw in verse 1-9 and 10-16. Those are the you, and those are the you in Corinth. So who are the you here in San Antonio? Are those who have fellowship with God and are part of this church committing to one another. So that's the first point. We need to come together as a church. It's not you at home with your neighbor. No, it's us as one family, God our Father, and we together in His house, brothers and sisters, eating the meal He has prepared for us and remembering what He has done for us. Together, celebrating. So we are to approach the Lord's Supper together. How else should we approach the Lord's Supper? So we're to approach it together as a church, and we are to approach it in a worthy manner and discerning the body. See, the Corinthians are being rebuked because they are not observing the Lord's Supper. Why? Why is Paul saying they are not observing the Lord's Supper? When they come together, what they're doing is not the Lord's Supper. Why is that? Well, verse 27 says, "Now, not in an unworthy manner, whoever therefore eats the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord." And then verse 29 says, "For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." So here's the thing that they're doing wrong. They are guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. What does that mean? Well, verse 29 shed more light. They are guilty of not discerning the body. What does that mean? Verse 22 says, What do you not have houses to eat and drink? Or do you despise, see, they're despising the church of God and humiliating those who have nothing. Here's the problem. There's division among themselves. They're not discerning properly the blood, the body of Christ. They have forgotten what it means to be a Christian. See, they're making divisions. The poor here, the rich over here. I'm a rich person. I'm not going to sit with the poor. I'm going to eat. And my brother, by whom Christ died for, is going hungry. That is the wrong type of division. That is the wrong type of discernment and discrimination. There shouldn't be partiality among the church. See, discerning properly, this is what we need to do, right? We need to come in a manner that we discern properly the body, and is a manner that is worthy of eating the bread and drinking from the cup. We're supposed to be humble and remember that at the foot of the cross, I am a sinner as much as you. And my poor brother has the same value before God that I do. And he's my brother and she's my sister, and we're in equal footing before Christ. He is the one that deserves honor and glory, and we are his servants, bought and washed by his sacrifice. See, you're not discerning the body rightly. You think that there's something in you that makes you better than the poor, or better than him, or better than her. When you're supposed to come loving one another, loving the Lord for what he has done for you, and loving your brother for whom he died and he loved. So your brother had need and you share. As he gave himself for you and for your brother, you come ready to give yourself for your brother, for your sister. So you're discerning the body properly. You have the right understanding of what had happened on that transaction in the cross. You see, before in the world, yeah, I was better than you. Hey, I have money. You were nothing. Yeah, you are not welcoming my table. Sorry. Coronavirus.
Have you washed your hands? Right? Think about it. That's wrong. And they thought they were coming together as a church. And they thought they were celebrating the Lord's Supper. And to their surprise, Paul tells them, that's not the Lord's Supper that you're eating. That's actually a disgrace to the Lord. You're humiliating your brother and your sister. You're discriminating wrongly. You have forgotten the meaning of the very thing you come to celebrate. He saved you, and He saved her, and He washed you with the same blood, and He washed her with the same blood, and you are family now. That's why we come to the body. So we must approach the Lord's Supper discerning properly the body. And when we do that, then we are worthy. See, we're eating it in a worthy form. They were discriminating and not discerning properly, and when they ate, it was an unworthy manner. That's wrong. Now, in their context, you had the rich, you had the poor. They were not eating together. The poor was going hungry. The rich was eating and drinking and getting drunk. And that was a manifestation of the discrimination, the division that was among them. Now, in our context, what is it? How are you discriminating against your brother? If you are, have you asked that question? Are you in any way discriminating? Do you have something against your brother and sister that is petty and is causing division, where you are not able to enjoy the fellowship that you have in Christ? What does the Lord say? Stop. Leave your offering there and go and reconcile to your brother. And then come. Right? So what are we to do to ensure that our approach to the Lord's Supper is properly discerning the body so that we can eat and drink in a worthy manner? In verse 28, Paul said, let a person examine himself. In verse 31, Paul says, judge ourselves truly. See? So take the time. I'm not going to tell you how are you discriminating against your brother and sister, because the Lord knows your heart. So take the time and properly examine yourself. Go before the Lord. Lord, is there anything that is affecting my fellowship with my brothers and sisters? Because I tell you this, if there's anything affecting your fellowship with your brother or sister, you have something affecting your fellowship with your father. Period. And you're going to come to this table that way? No. Fix it. Put pride aside. Humble yourself before the cross. Remember who you are and what He has done for you. And run to reconcile yourself to your brother and sister. Whatever the reason is that there is division, fix it. And together, come. Come to the table. And enjoy what your Father has prepared for you, what your Lord has served for you to partake in. So we must come discerning the body. And we must eat in a worthy manner. How else are we to come? Well, actually, it's a different question I have now. The question is, why should we come? Third Sunday of the month,
Grace Community Church prepares to have the Lord's Supper. We have it after our fellowship meal. Service is over. Craig is preaching, so we are dismissed. Half of the congregation leave. They go. The other half stay. Why should we observe the Lord's Supper? Do you even know? It's a good question to ask. Why do we do this? We have many new believers. Last time, if Sermon Audio is right, last time we actually have a main service preaching or teaching on the Lord's Supper was in 2014. Other than that, it has been the exhortation that we have given during the Lord's Supper. So those who live, those who are new believers that have been sitting here since January 2015, do they know? I was surprised. Last year last time Tim preached about not neglecting to come together, Hebrews 10:25. That noon we had lunch with a couple, and they didn't know it was a command. They were like, "What? We're supposed to, I didn't know." So the question is, why should we observe the Lord's Supper? 11:24 and 25. What does it say? It says, "Do this in remembrance of me." 25. "Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." Why do we celebrate the Lord's Supper? Because it's a commandment. It's a command from our Lord. It's an imperative. Do this. It's not an option, but a command. The church is commanded to observe the Lord's Supper. Let me make it clear. You are commanded to observe the Lord's Supper. If you are in the habit of skipping the Lord's Supper, when the church gathered together with the purpose to eat and drink the supper of the Lord, you are in disobedience of the Lord's command to you, His church. And I say in the habit. If it's habitual, I don't want to be legalistic here. So are you part of the body? Then you should frequently and as often as humanly possibly participate in the Lord's Supper, because your Lord commands it. In our context, GCC, observe the Lord's Supper on the third Sunday of the month. In that message that I mentioned in 2014, we were moving from observing the Lord's Supper in a service in the evening to observing the Lord's Supper during our regular service every week. And sometime later, we changed it from every week to once a month. So you have a command, it's not an option, to do it. And like I said, I don't want to be legalistic, but if we as a church come together on the third Sunday to eat the Lord's Supper, are you taking the time to prepare for the Lord's Supper? The Passover, that was a shadow, they were commanded to, on the 10th day of the first month, to go and find
the offering, the spotless lamb that they were to offer and sacrifice, and bring it, and on the 14th day, sacrifice it. So they have to prepare themselves for the shadow. How much more are we to do for the substance? For the reality. So if you receive the email that reminds you that we're having the Lord's Supper on the third Sunday of the week, the Wednesday or Thursday before, if it's humanly possible, make all arrangements necessary so that you can be here and partake of the Lord's Supper. And like I said, I don't want to be legalistic. I understand that there are times that it's not possible. Okay? But if it's humanly possible, do whatever it takes to obey your master. And again, verse 28, Paul says, let a person examine himself. And in 31, he says, judge ourselves truly, so that you will not be judged. So if you truly and honestly have done everything that you can to be here, and you are not able to, then you can have a clear conscience before your Lord. But if you're being cavalier about it, and you're not giving it the priority that it deserves, then you're not neglecting us, but you're neglecting your Lord. You're not obeying Him. And in obedience, there is blessing. There is a blessing. And this subject is so serious. But Paul tells the Corinthians that there are those among them, in verse 29, that are not descending rightly. Sorry, that's not the right verse passage. Verse 34. I got lost. No, they are ill, sick, and even die. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. It's so serious that this is the consequence they're reaping from being neglectful, for discriminating wrongly the body of Christ. And I wonder, not physically ill, not physically dead, but I wonder how many of us, by neglecting the Lord's Supper, are spiritually sick and spiritually weak and spiritually dying. Think about Hebrews 12. What is the prescription that the writer gives to the Hebrews when their hands are drooping and their knees are weak? Look at Christ. How He endured the cross. Consider Him. And what was the expectation of the writer that was going to be the result when you did that? And you will be able to endure to the end. See, the Lord calls you to eat and drink so that you remember what He has done for you, so that you can have spiritual strength and health and life, so you can have the grace to endure the Christian life. And you are neglecting the very means that He has provided for you to endure. So first, we observe the Lord's Supper because it's a non-optional command. Second, We observe it on the third Sunday because it's an optional frequency. The command is, do this as often. It's not a prescription like in the Old Testament on the 14th day of the first month, year after year after year. But it is, do this as often. So we have an optional frequency. And like I mentioned before, our church has gone through several cycles. We used to do it on a special service in the evening. Then we move it to every week during the regular service. And now we're doing it the third Sunday. We need to be very diligent to stay consistent. Right? But we're obeying the Lord. We have elders who are in charge of shepherding the flock, who have determined that for our context, in our time, once a month is good and sufficient. In another time, those same elders determine that once a week was necessary. Some of those same elders. So, what am I saying? We're not disobeying the Lord if we only do it once a month, or if we do it every week, or if we do it twice a year. As long as we're doing it with the purpose to come together as a church and to remember what He has done for us, then we're doing it in a way that honors the Lord. Now, what is the intended purpose of participating of the Lord's Supper? I already hinted at it, right? When I mentioned Hebrews 12, right? One of the intended purposes is to remember. Verse 25 says, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We do this to remember. We remember that we are under a new covenant that was sealed by His blood. We're no longer under the law, but we are under grace. We remember that His blood purchased the forgiveness of my sins. We remember that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We come to the table and we remember what He has done for us. And we remember that when we were enemies, when we were hostile to Him, He died for us. We remember that He loved me. And He gave Himself for me. We remember His love and how He manifested His love. And remembering that should move us, should give us the grace and the desire, and it should fill our hearts with gratitude to live this life for Him, to please Him. So we do it to remember what He purchased for us, what He has done for us. What else do we do it? We do it to proclaim. When we come together and we observe the Lord, we eat the Lord's Supper, we're proclaiming His death until He comes. Just as the example of David observing the Passover and telling little Solomon what was that for, in the same manner we tell and proclaim to ourselves first the good news of the gospel, and we proclaim it to one another, and we proclaim it to the observing world, to our children that are loved, to the person sitting next to us that has not received Christ, and we go out to proclaim the good news of Him who died for us. And He extends the same invitation that you and I enjoy to everyone who will listen and come. So we proclaim Him. We proclaim His death.
In eating the Lord's Supper, we find sustenance. So we do it because we find sustenance. Just like the bread sustain our body, in the same manner, remembering Him and eating will sustain our souls. And lastly, in eating, well, I have two more points. So, in eating the Lord's Supper, we remember that we have fellowship with Him and with one another. So we come to the table, prepare for our by our Father, and we sit at the table with our brothers and sisters, and we eat what He has prepared for us. And we remember. We remember we have fellowship with Him. And we remember that in Him, in Christ, we have fellowship with the Father. And in Christ, we have fellowship with one another. And we love one another and we care for one another. And lastly, in eating the Lord's Supper now, we look forward to another invitation we have. We look to His return. When the kingdom of God comes, and our Lord, the one who loved us and gave Himself for us, He prepared the table where we are sitting, and He sits after He serves us, and He does what He said He was going to do. He takes the cup, and He drinks of the fruit of the vine again, with us, with Him. Us, His bride. We look forward to another supper. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty reign. Let us rejoice and exalt and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. You know how the bride made herself ready? By often, frequently, here, while waiting, coming to the table and eating His Lord's Supper. And receiving the nourishment that remembering His love and sacrifice give them to prepare themselves for the day of their wedding. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deed of the saints. Saints, how are you able to do any righteous deed apart from the sustenance of the gospel message? Apart from the remembering of His death, of Him laying down His body and pouring His blood to purchase you, to wash you clean. How are you able to live the Christian life apart from coming and eating of what He has provided for you to eat? Even the angel said, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Brothers, there's this and much more we can say about the Lord's Supper. It is an incredible invitation that we have. A great privilege and honor. Will you accept the invitation to His table? Will you come and eat the Lord's Supper? Will you come and enjoy all the benefits He has prepared for you?
This is why I look forward to do it again. After this COVID-19, I can't wait for us to be together as a church, all together, looking and considering Christ and enjoying all the benefits that He has provided for us to delight in. So, brothers and sisters, we have an invitation to the Lord's Supper. Prepare yourself and be eager. We will let you know the date as soon as we can. God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you for filling my heart with gratitude and joy. I want to thank you for your grace. I want to thank you for remembering that you have forgiven me. When I fail, I need that remembrance. I need to come to the table. And I know my brothers and sisters do too. And I thank you because you knew that we need it. You knew our need of it, and you instructed. No. You commanded us to come for our good. So thank you, Lord, for all the provision you have made for your people. And help us. Help us to discern rightly the body of Christ and to enjoy and encourage one another to be ready to partake of the blessing you have for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you.